It's been on my heart for the last few days to mention a few things here this morning. I didn't really decide on some of them until just a few minutes ago when I was praying and going over my notes a little bit. But we're convinced this morning that we're in the last days. The coming of the Lord is near. Buddy, I tell you what, if you don't believe it, just listen carefully to me this morning. James chapter 5. Now, the book of James chapter 5, actually, doctrinally speaking, is addressed, as you know, the book of James was written to the tribes, 12 tribes of Israel. So doctrinally, you're going to find it skipping over the church age, over even in the tribulation, many, many times. And so he's going to be warning some people here what to look for as the coming of the Lord draws near. Now, the way you handle your Bible is you don't just chop it up and say, well, that's doctrine of the tribulation. I don't have nothing to do with it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. You just got to make sure you don't mess it up doctrinally when you're reading it. Now, he warns some men here that actually is going to be ruling the world during the last days, and especially during the tribulation. And he said in verse 1, go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Now stop right there. We're seeing that happening right now. They're trying to build the riches of the world together so they can make it in the last days. You've heard of the Rothschilds and Bilderbergers and all the great financial institutions, banks and stuff like that. And what this prophesying here is they're going to go bankrupt. The economy is going to be shot one of these days. If you're putting your faith and trust money, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. That's why when the stock market crashed back in 29 or whenever it was, they're about lined up on top of them buildings up there in New York waiting to jump off. Because they had their hopes in the wrong thing. Now look at verse number 4. Here's the way you know this is tribulation many times. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Just live it up. Eat, drink, and be merry. Ye have condemned and killed the just. That's a pretty good picture of America today. Just having big parties, whining and dining, taxpayers' expenses, White House banquets, White House parties, senators' parties, represented, and condemned and killed the just. And he doth not resist you. Verse 7, something for us. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Tribulation doctrine. Verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure tribulation. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, 42 chapters, picture the great tribulation, and have seen the end of the Lord, that's the end of it there, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy, All Israel will be saved at the end of the tribulation. As a nation, the nation of Israel will be saved. And the Old Testament said, born as a day. That don't mean individual Jews. That's Jews as a nation, Romans said, will be saved. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Then he goes into praying to the sick and all of that, which we'll not read this morning for time's sake. Look back at verse 8. Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That verse there is telling whoever you are and whatever period you're in that you better get your heart established. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. Get your feet on some solid ground. Have a hope that is sure. Have something worth dying for this morning. Have something worth living for this morning. Establish your hearts. And the Bible said the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. There's ever been a time, folks, when we need to be shook about the times that we're living in. It's now. We're seeing the day arrive now in America and the world when everything seems to be turned around backwards. Right has become wrong. Wrong has become right. The good guys are now the bad guys. The bad guys are now the good guys. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, brother, one of these days, just like in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible said that Jesus is going to step out on the clouds and He's coming. Do you realize this morning, I was preaching up there in Virginia the other night and I was telling, do you realize this morning that we are the first generation in history that literally could see the Bible scriptures fulfilled? Back in the old days when people preached, them old preachers, they'd get up and they'd preach that the prophets was going to be killed and lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. And they said everybody in the world will be able to see them prophets. People laughed at them. They said, it's a joke. You can't be telling the truth. No way can somebody see two men laying in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. Listen, this is 1995. Nobody laughs at that now. We know that it is very possible through satellite television that for the whole world to be able to watch two men laying in the street of Jerusalem. We know that. I don't understand how that works. If you can explain that to me, I'd love for somebody to explain that to me after the service. How a man can take and point it. I pointed at these boys sitting right here on the front. And I look through there and I see their image. I can understand a little bit of that. Glass. And you're looking through it and you can see them through that. But somehow or another, it picks that image up off of their body and it pulls it into that camera and it does something with that, just that image, and it turns it into electrical currents. And that electrical current goes through a wire that ain't no big as that right there. And those pictures of them boys go through that wire and then they go up to a transmitter somewhere and it shoots them up in the sky. And it turns them electrical waves into something that you can't see or feel and they go through the air. You say, well, Brother Danny, I read a book on that and that's just way. Well, what is it? It's what I want to know. What is a wave? How did they figure out them things is there, man? I mean, how can you know they're there? You can't see them. You can't touch them. How did it happen? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we don't find out it's supernatural one of these days when we get to heaven. But anyway, these waves go through the air, and it goes somewhere up into outer space, and it hits a satellite. That satellite is floating up there. They ain't nothing holding up there. How come it don't just keep going? How come it don't fall? How come it orbits the earth? What keeps those doggone things hanging there, man? I mean, what causes that? And it hits there, and it bounces off, and it's in somebody's backyard, and it hits another satellite, and it grabs a hold of it, and pulls it in here, and turns it back into electrical waves, and then it goes through another wire, and in your house, and you can see them guys in your living room and hear what they're saying. That's amazing, man. Did you know that if you'd have told people that 100 years ago, they said, you're crazy. That can never happen. Y'all listen to me?
My daddy grew up. Listen, our kids nowadays, they think, oh no, what are we going to do? TV's tore up. You'll do what people done for 6,000 years before there was such a thing. We're the only generation that's ever even had it. My daddy told me, he said he'll never forget the first time he seen a TV. He said he is growing up, and he said his brother's in a bar downtown somewhere in Kentucky or West Virginia, and he come in and he said, fellas, you've got to come down here. There's a blankety-blank radio down there that you can see the people on. And he said they were amazed. They couldn't believe it. I mean, it just blew their mind. But brother, listen, that is the day that you and I are living in. God didn't let them discover that in 1800. God didn't let them have that in 1700. God didn't let them have that in 1600. God didn't let them have that in 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or negative 1, negative 2, negative 3, C, none of them times. God didn't let them have it. God let them have it in the 1900s. Think about that. Over there, them old preachers used to preach that a man would come in the last days. And they said that that man would make you have a mark on your right hand or your forehead. And he said everybody would have to have that mark or they couldn't buy nothing or sell nothing. People laughed. They thought that's ridiculous. It's impossible. There is no way that a man could run the whole world anyway. There's too many oceans and too much room. They thought it was a joke. Nobody don't think it's a joke now. It's talked about all the time. Big brother is watching you. Big government. One world order. New world order. Global economy. Global religion. Global everything, brother. Everything's global. Think global. Global. You know what? It's getting littler and littler to set the stage for the Antichrist to come and rule over this thing one of these days. You know what this means? This means that now they got a computer. The first computer was about half as big as this room here, 40 years ago. You hear me? The first computer, 45, 50 years ago, there wasn't one in 1800. There wasn't one in 1700. It was about as big as this room 50 years ago. They got them now that they can slice your skin right here, about the size of a dime, slide up under your skin and keep track of you wherever you go and can monitor you and watch you if you're on probation out of jail. Everybody's getting what they call these boys out here. Yes, you're talking about having direct bank deposit where you don't get your check no more. They put it right in the bank. You do everything by check. You do everything by credit card. Man, I don't like that at all. You better not try nothing like that on me. I want the money in my hand and pay my bills with the money. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the old-fashioned way of doing it. I don't write checks unless I have to. I tell you what, brother, I'm telling you this morning, all of that is showing that we are headed toward the time when the man is going to run the world. They don't laugh about that prophecy no more. It is very possible. As a matter of fact, it's a handwriting on the wall. It's coming. What does all this mean? It means the Lord's coming. We're going to leave it all behind. Amen? Brother, we don't know. Somebody said the other day, they said, Brother Danny, why even fool with building a school? I'll tell you why, Brother John. Hit it right on the nose. He said, listen, they're not doing it. If they'd do it right, we wouldn't have to do it. But since they won't do it right, we've got to do it for our kids and for their future of what we've got here. I'm telling you this morning, the foundations has fallen out from under our society. And when you jerk the foundation out from anything, it's going to fall. Our nation is in trouble with God this morning. All this means is Jesus is coming. Amen? That's all that it means. So many, listen, did you know it's hard to get God's people to do anything? One way I know the Lord's coming back. I go and preach revival meetings and preachers are embarrassed. They say people won't even come to a revival meeting. They say they'd rather stay home and watch a ball game. They'd rather stay home. Listen, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God Almighty, their sins paid for by the blood of Jesus, and don't even turn up about the house of God to come. Brother, you don't think we're living in the last days? You can't even get Christians to come to church no more. You can't get Christians. I mean, to hit a lick at a snake, man. You talk about lazy. They don't want to do nothing for God. I mean, don't care how dirt. I tell you what they remind me of, them college guys. College first started out, this guy went down to the local store in a little town. College boy went in there and he said, I got to get stocked up for this year. He said, I want 7 pairs of underwear. And the man said, well, why 7? He said, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'll wash them, start all over again the next week. So the next day, another college guy comes in. The manager said, yes, can I help you? He said, I've 7 pairs of underwear. And the guy said, yeah, I know, right. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, you got it. You're right. There's a friend of mine in here. Yes. Next day, fellow come in. I want 7 pairs. Yeah, I know. 7 pairs of underwear. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Next day, another college come in. He said, excuse me, do you have underwear? He said, yeah, okay. I know what you want. You want 7 pairs of underwear. He said, no, I want 12 pairs of underwear. He said, well, that don't make no sense. What about this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? He said, no. He said, oh, January, March, oh yeah. That's where a lot of God's people remind me of. Amen. I don't care how dirty they get. I don't care if they do anything for God. Our lack of concern, our lack of burden, our lack of tears tell me Jesus is coming back. Hey, our altars ought to be wet with the tears of God's people in our churches of the shape this world's in this morning. But dry altars are everywhere. Amen. Amen. Hey, I've been to church, boy, where they'd have old black junk laying all across the altar. Where the girls, their whole face runs off. I mean, and they're a mess. They can't even get a blessing for a messing with it. I just go ahead and let your whole face run off, sister, and get a blessing. Walmart will buy you a new one tomorrow and put it on. But I want to tell you something, brother. It's a shame. It's a shame that God's people, that some of you big, healthy, overgrown men here this morning, and God's blessed you and redeemed your soul from hell, and you can't even get a little walk out of you every now and then. Some of you's able to drive a bus, and you won't drive that bus. No, it's too much of a sacrifice. Shows me we're in the last days, buddy. People don't want to do nothing for God. You like an old man, these boys now, they wouldn't hit a lick at a snake. And then one of them said, son, go outside and see if it's raining. An old boy so lazy he wouldn't even get up. And he said, oh, daddy, do I have to? He said, son, go outside and see if it's raining. He said, daddy, why don't we just call a dog in here and see if he's wet? It's like... Remember that one old fellow, he said, he was the laziest man in the church, and they told him one day, he said, man, how'd you get so lazy? And he said, I don't know. He said, well, you're going to die one of these days. He said, I know it. Probably the day I die, it'll be resurrection day, and I'll have to get up. All that tells me is that Jesus is coming back, brother. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. We're living in a terrible, wicked time. What I'm getting ready to say right now is just information I'm passing on to you. This has nothing to do with us starting a school, so don't think it does. But I want to tell you something, brother. I was reading the paper up there. I catch the front page of USA Today or something, and if it's got something I can use on it, I get it. And I was up there, I believe it was in Virginia the other day. I saw it. You wouldn't believe what is going on right now. What they say the answer to our problem is with our schools in America. Whether you realize it or not, and I'm not saying this because we're starting schools, got nothing to do with it. Do you realize it or not, education in America is in trouble. Big trouble. Big, big trouble. We got kids in school now that can't even pass the test that their mamas and daddies passed 30 years ago. And it's the same test. And you know what they're saying the answer is? More money, nicer buildings, better facilities, hogwash. We got nicer facilities now than grandma and grandpa had, and yet we're dumber than Hass organization. And have, listen, the devil's got in. That's what the problem is. That's what the problem is. On the front page of USA Today, big headlines the other day said the pediatricians met, the doctors met, and they now recommend to put contraceptive in high schools available for kids. Condoms in high school. I hate to be so blunt and plain, folks. How in the name of common sense we come to the point in America where that would be put on the front page of the paper. We are literally giving kids the okay and saying, it's all right, go ahead and do anything you want to. Just be careful. So I like what you're saying. You're going to like it a lot less in another minute or two. So just brace yourself. Amen. Now there's 7 doors going out of here, and you can go out any one of them you want. I'm not going to pat you on the back and be sweet to you and tell you everything's all right. Everything's not all right. God have mercy. We're in the worst mess that we've ever been in. I'm telling you this morning, people, we're in trouble. Can you imagine? Listen, when I went to high school, if we'd have been caught with one of the things, they'd have killed us. I mean, that was something you kept secret. It wasn't something you said, well, I'm going to go down the hall and let the teachers give me one. I mean, they had a, oh, my soul. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Brother, we couldn't wear our shirt tail out. Brother, you think we're not living in a mess? I heard on the radio this week that North Carolina, the state of North Carolina, is now going to have millions of dollars allotted to hire policemen to put in our schools. They're going to hire cops. You want to know? We're sheltered around here. Thank God our schools around here is good compared to most in the big cities. You get in around big cities, brother, they're hiring police. I can't imagine the school system saying we're going to hire policemen in here to keep trouble down. I don't. Let me tell you something, buddy. It ain't been that long ago. When I went to school, we didn't need no policemen. We didn't need no policemen. Son, if Jack Kirstein stuck his head down the hall, everybody would cool it. If the teacher showed up, bah! Buddy, you straightened up right quick. They didn't need to call the cops. That was totally unnecessary. You know why? Because they could take you in the office back then, brother, and make you bend over like this, son, and he'd pull out the Board of Education. And, brother, I mean, he'd get you like this, and here's what you'd be doing. Like that. I mean, it would burn, man. When you'd go back to your seat, it would burn 20 minutes. I'll guarantee you'd watch your mouth the next time. I'll tell you what, brother, our generation's sick, man. It's sick. People say, oh, well, I just can't believe that you believe in that horrible thing. Well, okay, what are you going to do? Send cops down there? Listen, it's out of control when the students are running the school. It's done got too far, people. It's done got wrong. You know what? We are so dumb in this generation. We abandoned God's Word. We abandoned what the book said. And now everybody's just making up own of right and wrong. It's pitiful. Last thing we needed when I was in school was policemen. Son, them teachers was the policemen. Now the student can cuss the teacher, and if a teacher says anything back to them, the teacher gets reprimanded in the office. I have here before you a few little illustrations of what goes on in public school very near here, not in this county. And I have the public school teacher here this morning that can verify every bit of it if anybody wants to ask him. Two students disrupt class. All this has happened lately. Cuss the teacher, throw temper fits, and repeatedly curse the church school secretary. You know what they do to them? Total disrupt the class, cuss the teacher. You know what their punishment is? They get to stay home and be homeschooled by a state-employed teacher. And the state pays a teacher to go teach them at home, and they get to miss all the classes because they're mean. They call that a behavior problem. They call it a handicap, see? No such thing as sin. We don't believe in sin no more. It's a handicap. They can't behave. You know what I never heard when I was growing up? When we was little, I never heard tell of a kid that was hyper. I never heard that the last 10, 15 years. Boy, if I could have had that, I could have got out on that a lot of times. We didn't have that back then. You was just mean as a snake. Back then, they'd beat the hyper out of you. And that's all it takes. The Bible said foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. That's what the Bible said. God provided a little place back there where there's padding. You won't break no bones. I mean, it's all fixed up. It's not going to hurt. That's God's plan. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the state paying a teacher, us paying a teacher, I should say, to go home and teach the kids that's too mean to sit in class, and they get to get up when they want to and go to bed when they want to and sit at home all day and don't have to go to school. That's their punishment. They get a free homeschooled tutor. Now, that kind of thinking is indicated by the forefinger making circular reasonings around the temple. That means it's cuckoo. That means that's insanity, man. That's insanity. Well, now Johnny won't behave. Little Johnny won't behave. So I know what let's do. Let's hire a teacher and teach him at school. He gets a home private education. That's his punishment. Generally, normally, I say this, teachers are catching students engaged in sinful acts. In school, in the hall, out in the parking lot, in the restroom. This is close by. 2 years ago, a student was suspended for 2 weeks for having sin in a bathroom. 2 weeks suspension. In this incident, the student was charged in court with attempted rape on a girl. They let him back to school. He was again accused of attempted rape of another girl. And the first incident involved two boys and two girls in the bathroom. And that student is now presently going to school. This year, two students have been caught in sin in the parking lot on the top of a car. The school administrators did not pursue punishment. And what you call that? You call that out of control. And build all the buildings you want to, and it's not going to stop that. It's going to get worse. I don't want to spend all my time on that this morning. Two summers ago, a student was caught in a cocaine bust and was, you know what his sentence was? He had to go to summer school. For selling cocaine, man. He stayed in summer school 2 days and was disrupting the class, and many students were caught in trouble the first, second, or third time are sentenced to go to school. Well, that's what's supposed to go to school to start with, without a sentence. What a punishment. What a punishment. I'll tell you what's going on. We read Jesus the words to famous songs that kids listen to all the time now. The number of the beast. 666, the number of the beast. 666, the one for you and me. I'm coming back. I will return. I will possess your body and I'll make you burn. I have the fire and the force. I have the power, my evil, to take its course. See, that's not the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, or of course they had some, but that's not Love Me Do, Brother, or See the Tree, How Big It's Grown, Friend It Ain't Been Too Long, Honey, I Miss You, and all kind of jazz. But we moved into a brand new ball game nowadays. Is that right? That was sickening. I never did like that song. Here's one now, caught by the police. It's called Murder by Numbers. See, these people like Two Live Crew and stuff like that. We have our rights. No, you don't have no right to do that. You don't have no right to encourage people to murder and break the law and rape and kill. These women's rights activists ought to take a fit against rock music. That's their worst enemy. Pornography and rock music. You talk about, oh, those religions suppresses women. It don't make a piece of meat out of them like rock groups do. Amen? Well, some of y'all, you've been hanging around the wrong kind of people. You've been watching CNN talk back live and stuff like that. It's warped your mind. It gets you to where you can't think straight. You've been listening to that Johnny Cochran doctrine. Who himself is a wife abuser and adulterer and liar and all that kind of stuff. Preach it, brother. Amen. Quote, now if you have a taste for this experience and you're flushed with your very first success, you must try this, all kinds of sin there. See? That's songs on the radio. Listen to this one. By Venom, without any fear of God, we're possessed by all that is evil. The death of you, God, we demand. We spit at the virgin you worship. Talking to Catholics.
and sit at Lord Satan's left hand. Listen to this. You say, oh, it's some old wicked, crazy rock groups, some old people that's perverted, and I wouldn't have nothing to do with none of them. Listen to this song on demon possession. Quote, shake hands with the devil. Don't be frightened. I won't hurt you. I don't want your silver or your gold, but your body and your soul. You say, that's one of them old freaky groups, ain't it? No, that's Chris Christopherson. Dead Kennedys, quote, I kill children. Killing children is the name of the song. God told me to skin you alive. I kill children. I love to see them die. I kill children and make their mothers cry. I crush them under my car. I love to hear them scream. I feed them poison candy and spoil their Halloween. All this means is Jesus is coming. Parade Magazine, 1993, in San Francisco, they put up a big banner, said this is the year of the queer. That's what they said. They come in now and they said, they're coming here in a few weeks, coming to all the major cities in America. But they're saying, we're here, we're queer, get used to it. I said, we're cramming it down our throat. Well, you know what we say to that, don't you? We look back and say, we're here, we ain't queer, and you can have this dump for all I care because we're leaving here. Amen. Yeah. Jesus is coming after us. They can have Charlotte, man. They can have Atlanta. They can have New York City. We got something better to look forward to. Behold, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I could go on and on and on this morning. I'm telling you this morning, one of these days, Jesus is coming back. You hear in the paper the other day or on the news that now young people between, I forgot, 25 and 40 or something like that, that age group, age is a leading killer of that age group now. That's above accidents. That's above car wrecks. That's above disease. That's above cancer. AIDS, man. They say, well, that's why they're telling them to put condoms in school. Listen. They say, practice safe sex. Man, did you know condoms have holes in them so big, the AIDS virus is so little, there's a 18 to 20% failure rate? Just like if you put a golf ball through a basketball goal, that's how easy it is to get through. Well, you going to take a chance on something like that? It's only 80%.
Sooner or later. And even if they don't, the curse of God's on the other, all of them. 100%. Listen, we're in trouble this morning. We need to get on our knees. Brother, we need revival. You say, Brother Dan, we just had counting youth rallies coming up. You don't think we need a move of God? You don't think we need... How long has it been since we cried all night? How long has it been since we were weeping at in a sinner's home with the Bible open, trying to get that sinner to get down on his knees and get saved? I'm ask you something. How long has it been since you cared about a sinner and asked that sinner to give their heart to Jesus Christ? How about it this morning? We know Jesus is coming. Are we ready? Behold, the judge standeth before the Lord. If you're not ready, you better get ready, because he's coming back, buddy, and he is not happy about this world and the direction she's going. We ought to make up our mind this morning that we're going to stay by the grace of God, by the stuff, raise our kids right, and just see what happens in this thing, waiting on Jesus to come. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're in trouble this morning. If you're a Christian here this morning and you've been just goofing off, you ain't been witnessing, you ain't been praying, you ain't been fellowshipping with God, you ain't been close to God, you're in trouble this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're in the most dangerous shape that a person can be in. It's worse than AIDS or cancer.
it's sin. And you're punished forever. Let me ask you a question this morning. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You better be now. Because one of these days you're gone. We're going to pray this morning. If you're a Christian here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I know that Jesus is coming soon. I need to get around that altar this morning and ask God to do a work in my heart." We need to pray for revival. We need to pray for our lost loved ones. We need to pray that God will stir our hearts. We can get a vision and a burden. The Bible says where there is no vision, people perish. They're perishing all around us this morning. God have mercy on us as a church, as individuals. If you need to come, many are coming already. If you need to come, you feel free. Slip out of your seat. Make your way down to this altar. Get something from God. He'll bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray this morning that this thing will be made real to our hearts and souls and minds. Lord, bless now as we continue on with this invitation. Give every person here exactly what we need to serve you. Save that one which is nearest hell. That man that's here this morning. He don't even know why he's here. Maybe he come to see somebody, or maybe this young lady come to sit with her friends or something like that. But Lord, we know why they're here. You brought them here. It's because you want to work in their hearts and do a miracle in their lives. Help them, oh God. Help them, oh God, to make that step that they need to make. In Jesus' name we pray.